This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما Indeed, our praise and our gratitude is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entirely. Allah is most entitled and worthy of our words of praise and our words and actions of gratitude. We ask Allah for guidance and we ask Allah to keep us steadfast upon His guidance. We ask Allah for forgiveness from our shortcomings and mistakes and we ask Allah for protection. And we bear witness that no one is worthy except Allah alone. He guides whom He wills and none can guide those that He has not guided. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last and final prophet and messenger. We ask Allah to shower our beloved messenger with compliments and salutations. The best of dhikr that we could do on the eve of Friday and throughout the day of Friday is to increase in salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala Rasulillah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. Let us remind each other to renew our taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for it is His right. اتقوا الله حق تقاته. And let us make sure that we go through this life until the very last moments in submission, استسلام لله والانقياد له بالطاعة, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in what He commanded and abstaining from that which He has forbidden. That is piety, that is taqwa, that is the road to success in this life and in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our most merciful, our most generous, our most wise Lord and Creator, in this perfect deen of ours that He has blessed us to be a part of, has created certain mechanisms within what Allah established. He has created certain mechanisms for us to be elevated in our status and for us to be forgiven from our mistakes and our shortcomings. We understand that in this journey of life, we will surely fall into mishap. We will surely lapse in our good judgment. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not left us alone to continue and to stay stuck in our moments of wrongdoing, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger have guided us to statements and actions by which we can free ourselves of our own mistakes. And of those mechanisms, the greatest of which is as-salah. The message today is very simple, and the reminder is nothing new. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as-salatu nur. Salat, the devotional act of worship known as salat, is light, is a means of illumination. As-salatu nur. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it is what holds up our head. The Prophet spoke to Mu'adh, the great companion, and he said to him, أَلَا أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى رَأْسِ الْأَمْرِ. Should I not inform you of what is the most important of all matters and affairs? قَالَ بَلَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Please tell me, O Messenger of Allah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this authentic hadith said, رَأْسُ الْأَمْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The master of all affairs, the most important thing that exists is al-Islam. Your submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this deen of Allah. Inna ad-deena 'inda Allah al-Islam. Wa 'amuduhu as-salah. And then the messenger said, and the pillar, the backbone, the spine, which holds up the head of all affairs is salah. Such that if the pillar is removed, what will happen to what it is holding up? It will collapse. It will collapse. رأس الأمر الإسلام وعموده الصلاة. Now we have heard about salah before, and it is worthy of being reminded of over and over again. But today the discussion is not about the obligation of salah, because we should know that salah 5 times a day is an absolute obligation upon every adult Muslim. But rather the discussion today is a reminder of how salah is a means of cleansing. How salah is of the best ways of seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Because many of us may feel burdened carrying the weight and the thought and the memories of our mistakes. Small but perhaps plentiful. Few but perhaps great. And we learn from our learned in the field of psychotherapy that when a person does something wrong and they recognize that it is wrong, then they feel guilt. They feel guilty. And we learn from these individuals that there is a relationship between guilt and shame. And guilt is when a person recognizes, I've done something wrong. What I did was not correct. And they feel bad about it. If that guilt is not transferred into a positive action to transform or to better one's behavior or one's life, then it leads to what is referred to as shame, where the person is no longer thinking about what I did is wrong, but then they feel I am wrong. I am bad. I am incapable of redemption. And that is a very dark place. That is a very dark place, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. That nobody ever falls into despair from the mercy of Allah except those that have disbelieved in Allah. So to prevent that cycle from continuing, Allah has given us mechanisms so we can put them as pegs to interrupt that dangerous behavioral cycle and transform our days and our nights and our lives through actions and words of tawbah and through sincere intentions. And as we said, of the greatest ways of seeking forgiveness from Allah is salah. Perhaps today, if we only paused on this one aspect of salah, that it is a means of cleansing and of purifying, a way for me to shed this weight of my mistakes, then perhaps that is what we need to change our perception of salah. If our salah has become nothing but a chore that we do out of fear of punishment, then perhaps we should reflect on how it is an opportunity for cleansing, so we can go to it out of love and out of yearning for Allah's hope. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ بِمَا يَمْحُ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْخَطَايَا وَيَرْفَعُ الدَّرَجَاتِ. Should I not inform you about that which, if you do so, Allah will raise your rank and expiate your sins and your mistakes? They said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. He mentioned 3 things. إِسْبَاغُ الْوُضُوءِ عَلَى الْمَكَارِهِ وَكَثْرَةُ الْخُطَاءِ إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ وَانْتِظَارُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ. He said, the Messenger of Allah, to complete and to perfect wudu, the washing before salah, and to increase and accumulate more footsteps to the masjid, meaning to go regularly to the masjid, and to wait from one salah, waiting for the next to perform the next. Meaning that after one salah comes the next one, and the next. It's not one and done. As we said previously, this deen is about continuity of good deeds. The Messenger of Allah is saying that when we wash in our wudu, that is a means of elevating rank and expiating sins. And when we walk to the masjid, the place of salah, We are elevating in our rank and expiating our sins. And when we do one salah after another, after another, after another, that is a means of elevating rank and expiating sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so generous and so vast in His mercy. All of these things that the Messenger of Allah mentioned, they are related to salah. They're not even salah itself. Did you notice that? He is talking about preparing for salah, going to salah, waiting for the next salah, intending to perform it and following up. All of these are matters related to salah. And when you peruse the sunnah, when you peruse the collection of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's traditions, you find an absolutely incredible amount of narrations that talk about how salah is so virtuous and how it is an opportunity for forgiveness time and again. Before we even get to salah, let's pause on this act of worship known as wudu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man tawadda'a fa ahsana al-wudu." خرجت خطاياه من جسده حتى تخرج من تحت أظفاره. The Messenger of Allah said, whoever goes and makes wudu and perfects that wudu, completes it, washes all the necessary parts of wudu, that person's dhunub, that person's sins and mistakes, physically exit and leave their body from every part of their body. The Messenger of Allah said, until the sins are escaping from under a person's fingernails. Salah, wudu is a means not only of physically washing our skin with water, but of cleansing ourselves and our record of deeds. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an absolutely incredible and detailed hadith, إِذَا تَوَضَّأَ الْمُسْلِمُ وَفِي رِوَايَةَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. When the Muslim, when the believer makes wudu, فَغَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ خَرَجَتْ مِنْ وَجْهِهِ كُلُّ خَطِيئَةٍ نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا بِعَيْنِهِ مَعَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مَعَ آخِرِ قَطْرِ الْمَاءِ. When the believer makes wudu and they wash their face in wudu, the Messenger of Allah said, every sinful thing that they did with their eyes leaves from their face when they wash their face. Then the Messenger of Allah said, and when they wash their arms and their hands, from their hands emanate and exit every sinful deed that they did with their physical hand. And when they wash their feet, exiting from each foot are the sins for each step that they took towards something wrong or sinful. حَتَّى يَخُرُجَ نَقِيًّا مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ. The Prophet concluded the narration saying, by the time this believer is done with wudu, they leave that place of wudu and they are cleansed and purified from all of their sins. Such an opportunity. The Prophet ﷺ himself once made wudu so carefully and with such a focused demeanor. تَوَضَّأَ فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُضُوءُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. He perfected his wudu and the companions were watching. And they were watching very diligently. And he was doing it so carefully and passionately. And when he concluded, he spoke to them and he said, مَنْ تَوَضَّأَ نَحْوَ وُضُوءِ هَذَا ثُمَّ صَلَّى رَكْعَتَيْنِ لَا يُحَدِّثُ فِيهِمَا نَفْسَهُ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, did you see the wudu that I just did? Whoever, any believer, makes wudu the way I have just made wudu and then stands and prays two rak'ahs, they will be forgiven of all of their dhunub. غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. A promise from the Messenger of Allah. غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Then we come to the call to salah. We're not even speaking about salah yet. Al-adhan, the call to salah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qala hina yasma'u an-nida', ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu, raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alaihi wasallam nabiyya, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi." The Messenger of Allah said, when you hear adhan, and after the adhan, you make the testimony of faith. You say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness that there is no one worthy to be worshipped except Allah exclusively alone without any partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his last and final messenger. And then you make three brief statements of conviction. Raditu billahi rabba. I am content and I am pleased with Allah as my Lord. وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ. I am content and I accept Islam as my way of life. وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَسُولًا. I accept and I am pleased that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is my messenger. The Prophet said, after these few words of dhikr after the adhan, the one who makes this statement will be forgiven of their sins. غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Then we come to the salah itself. How huge of an opportunity it is for forgiveness. Rasulullah gave a metaphor so we can understand and imagine how much cleansing takes place when we stand in salah. Rasulullah asked the companions, أَرَأَيْتُمْ. He's asking them, please tell me, give me your opinion. أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ أَنَّ نَهْرًا بِبَابِ أَحَدِكُمْ يَغْتَسِلُ مِنْهُ فِي الْيَوْمِ خَمْسَ مَرَّاتٍ هَلْ يَبْقَى مِنْ دَرَنِهِ شَيْءٍ. The Messenger of Allah asked the companions, I want you all to imagine if somebody had a flowing river right outside of their front door. You open the door to your house, you open the door to your apartment, and you find a flowing river of clean, pure water. And five times a day, you go out and you completely bathe yourself in that water. Not once a day, not twice a day, but five times in that day, you open your door, you stroll outside, and you completely bathe and shower yourself in this flowing, clear river. Rasulullah asked the companions, imagine someone with that living situation. Would they have any dirt remnants on their body? Would anything remain of impurity on their body? If they did so five times a day, day in, day out, قالوا لا يا رسول الله. They said, it's not imaginable, Messenger of Allah. Someone who does that, they're going to be perfectly clean. They're going to be perfectly clean. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَذَلِكُمُ الصَّلَاةِ فَذَلِكَ مَثَلُ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ يَمْحُ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْخَطَايَا. Such is the example of the five salahs a day. Allah wipes away, washes away, erases the record of our blemishes and our stains and our mistakes. The words of salah carry so much virtue and power. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha amman al-qari' fa'amminu." Rasulullah said, when you hear the imam recite Surah Al-Fatiha and say "Ameen," then you should also say "Ameen." Then say "Ameen," fa'amminu. And "Ameen" means, "Oh Allah, answer our dua." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تُؤَمِّنُ. The Messenger said, because the angels are with you and they also are saying Ameen. You can't hear them, but the Messenger said they are. And we believe him. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَمَنْ وَافَقَ تَأْمِينُهُ تَأْمِينَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. So whoever says Ameen, and that coincides with the angels beside them also saying Ameen, then their previous sins will be forgiven. Ameen. How easy is that? How much effort is in there? Very little. Which shows us how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Yet another opportunity in the words of salah. Similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when the imam stands up from ruku', from bowing, and says, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا. Then say, رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدِ. Then say, اللَّهُمَّ رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدِ. O Allah, our Lord and Master, to you belongs our praise and gratitude. رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدِ. The Messenger of Allah said, فَمَنْ وَافَقَ قَوْلُهُ قَوْلَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Again, if we make that statement and it coincides with the malaika, with the angels making that same statement because they are, then the previous sins will be forgiven. So many opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. And this completely changes and transforms the idea that many people carry that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is vengeful, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes pleasure in punishing. Anyone who reads these narrations will come to the conclusion that it is quite the opposite. that Allah loves those who repent, and Allah loves to forgive those who seek forgiveness. Allah asked a question in the Quran, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ. Anyone who has an inkling of thought, or anyone who is so deep in their moment of doom and gloom, that shaitan has taken advantage of that and told them, your Lord will not forgive you. Allah poses this question in the Quran. What will Allah do with your punishment? What benefit does it do for Allah? Allah punishing His servants does not increase Him in might, does not increase Him in power. It does nothing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is already the Almighty, All-Powerful. مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. All you have to do, Allah says, is be grateful and have conviction in your belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no desire in your punishment in that case. How merciful Allah is. Allahumma ighfir lana innaka kunta ghaffara. Oh Allah, forgive us. You are the most forgiving and most merciful. Alhamdulillahi wahda. والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. اللهم صل وسلم وأنعم وأكرم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We have been talking about how the amazing act of worship of salah is a means of cleansing, is a means of purifying, is a means of forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all our past shortcomings. A man came to the Messenger of Allah and he said to him in a moment of desperation and guilt and sadness. The man came and said, O Messenger of Allah, I have committed a sin in the outskirts of Medina. I behaved immorally and unlawfully with a woman. Duna zina, it was not adultery. But he said, nonetheless, I behaved in an immoral manner. What should I do? And he came pleading with the Messenger of Allah. So the Messenger of Allah remained silent for a moment. And Umar was nearby. And Umar said to the man, لَقَدْ سَتَرَكَ اللَّهُ لَوْ سَتَرْتَ نَفْسَكَ. Umar said to the man, Allah has concealed you. I wish that you had also concealed your faults. But nonetheless, the man was seeking redemption, seeking forgiveness. Eventually, he did not find a response from the Messenger right away, so he turned and began walking away. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had received wahi, had received revelation, and he called him back. And he recited to him the verse from Surah Hud. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَى لِلذَّاكِرِينَ. The messenger recited to him, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ, establish salah, طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ, at the furthest ends of the day and during the night. Meaning establish all of the salat throughout the day and the night. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Allah followed up that reminder by saying that good deeds do away with bad deeds. There is a relationship between those two. In the most immediate sense, Allah is reminding us of that good deed that He just mentioned. الصَّلَاةِ, إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةِ. إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةِ does away with سَيِّئَاتِ, does away with mistakes and poor choices. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in a hadith that is sound, narrated by Abu Bakr, مَا مِن رَجُلٍ. Listen to this hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِن رَجُلٍ يُذْنِبُ ذَنْبًا ثُمَّ يَقُومُ فَيَتَطَهَّرْ ثُمَّ يُصَلِّي ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. The Messenger of Allah began the statement with an emphatic clause. There is no person, مَا مِن رَجُلٍ, there is no man, يُذْنِبُ ذَنْبًا, commits a mistake. And the Prophet said, ذَنْبًا, open-ended. It could be small, it could be big. Many of us may think, I don't do major sins. I'm good. I made hajj. I do umrah. I give my zakah. I'm in the masjid for Ramadan. I'm good. But Rasulullah said, يُذْنِبُ ذَنْبًا, any ذَنْب. A person may think, I am good, but they harm others with their tongue. I am good, but they are abusing someone in their wealth. I am good, but they cut off ties of kinship. I am good, but they are backbiting and harboring evil feelings and thoughts about a fellow believer. Rasulullah said, يُذْنِبُ ذَنْبًا, any ذَنْب. Then afterwards they